We are so honored to be the recipients of your grace. We should have been condemned. We should have been cast aside. But your amazing grace stepped in. We say thanks. Nothing but the blood. I pray, Father, that you bless us in these hours, that we continue to lift our hearts unto you, not just now, but for the rest of our lives. Thank you. Glorify yourself in this house. Do what only you can do. Fix what only you can fix. Save as only you can save. Deliver as only you can deliver. Heal as only you can heal. We give you honor, glory, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And your people praise you. Amen. Come on, let's praise God in this house. Let's give God praise in this house. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I just want to welcome everyone to this great time that we share in this great house. I don't know about you, but I serve a great God. It's a wonderful God. I want to take a little time to remind you that on tomorrow we will be celebrating the life and the legacy of our very first chief minister. It is in his honor that I want to deliver this word today, because he symbolizes to a great extent what I'll be sharing with you. When you hear the title, you'll understand what I'm talking about. There was a time in this country when higher education was reserved for just a few, those who could afford it. But H.L. Stout said, no, we ought to make it affordable and accessible to everybody. And never mind those who are now jumping on the bad bandwagon, there were those who opposed it, because they didn't think like people like you should have the same privilege or opportunity like people like them. I don't know what that means. But H.L. decided that we need to do that, because the future of this territory very much hangs on an educated people. And so he surrounded himself with people. It became a reality. Very few places you can go to Tertiary Heights for free. You ought to clap right there. Because one man had a vision, and despite the oppositions, he decided to move forward. Come on, let's give God praise. I want to invite you to the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I'm sticking with the Amplified version today. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Follow with me. Inasmuch then as we believers have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in Him as Savior. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing sin. Verse 16, therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence, somebody say confidence, and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in the time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. I want to lift up the theme, equal access. Somebody say equal access. You may be seated and give God praise as you said. There's a pastor in Canada, Pastor Stuart Sylvester. He tells the story of one of his acquaintances who usually flies his private plane in and out of Toronto International Airport. And in a conversation with him, Pastor Stuart asked him, what is it like? Have you had any great challenges as you fly your little plane in and out in this airport that's dominated by super jets? It is then that the man said to him, well, I do fly a little aircraft, but let me help you understand, Pastor, that even among the greatest aircrafts, I have the same right, I have the same privilege, I have the same benefit as any other who has a big aircraft, even the super jets. We are all on a level playing field. We have equal access. So it is, my brothers and sisters. Because so many times I'm greeting people and I will say, hello, how are you? And because they are aware that I'm a pastor, they would say to me, not as good as you are, Pastor. And I will take the opportunity to say, why not? You have the same access that I do. Check your connection. What a privilege we have to all be able to go to God, regardless of who we are, where we came from, have access to God. I want to give you two main things today. Look at verse 14 with me. The first thing I want us to look at is the supreme high priest. The implication of the supreme high priest is unbelievable. As the great high priest, Jesus is able to sympathize, to actually feel every experience that we experience, no matter how painful. Jesus Christ not only feels for us, He feels right along with us. I want you to hear me today. Jesus is our great and sympathetic high priest, the one who meets our every need and carries us through all the sufferings of this life. This passage is clear to indicate that Jesus Christ is the greatest high priest, and there are two reasons given for that. First of all, you would notice the Bible says that Jesus Christ has passed into the heavens. He is before the very throne of God. He is the very essence of God. In fact, he is in the very presence of God himself. All earthly priests ministered and do minister and pass into the most holy place of the earthly tabernacle. But Jesus, says the word here, has passed or ascended into heaven and ministers in heaven. He ministers in the very presence of God himself. Therefore, he is greater by far than any earthly priest, including Aaron. But the second reason given is that Jesus Christ is Jesus, the Son of God. His earthly name, Jesus, speaks of his human nature and sympathy for man. Jesus was a man just like all other high priests. He suffered all the trials and temptations that other men and high priests suffer. Therefore, he can sympathize with all those who come to him as their high priest. But I want you to note something special. Jesus Christ is also the Son of God. This was his heavenly name. He is divine, the very Son of God himself, who came to earth to deliver and save men from sin and death and condemnation. He came to save us to the uttermost, to carry us before the very throne of God. He came to make it possible for us to live in the very presence of God himself. And the question is, how can he do this? He can do this because he is the Son of God. As the Son of God, he has the power to save us to the uttermost, to make us acceptable to God. No other priest can do this. Therefore, Jesus is greater than all other priests. Jesus Christ alone is the great high priest. For the scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Don't miss it. The real point here is, as the writer of the Hebrews says, let us therefore hold fast, or confession, that Jesus alone can save us. That Jesus alone has passed into heaven. That Jesus alone is the way to heaven. That is awesome. And the second thing I want us to notice is the significance for man. Because of this supreme high priest, it has serious implications for humanity. The significance of Jesus' high priesthood for man is fivefold. And I want you to hear what God reveals to us in the Word. Number one, because Jesus is the supreme high priest, we have a high priest who feels with us. Look at the text, verses 15 through 16. The word touched means to sympathize, to feel, and to suffer with. It means to sympathize and feel with a person to the point where you hurt and feel their pain, even as they hurt and feel pain. The idea brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus Christ actually suffers when we suffer. I want you to hear me. He knows and suffers right along with us when we become sick, when we lose a loved one, when we are fearful, when we face trials and temptations, when we lack money, when we fall into sin, when we are hungry, when we have an accident, when we lack clothes, when we feel lonely, when we lack purpose, when we sense emptiness, when we suffer persecution, even when we face death, he feels what we feel. So I want you to think about it. Go ahead and name your trial or your pain. Go ahead and name your temptation or your suffering. Name your infirmity or your weakness. Name any and all human experiences, and Jesus actually sympathizes and feels with us. You all don't know what I'm talking about. All of you got so life so beautiful. Everything is so hunky-dory in your life. There's nobody here that understands what pain is like. But for those who do understand, it is comforting to know that we have a high priest who comes alongside us. When families forsake and friends abandon, it's good to know that there is somebody who cares. He actually suffers and he actually hurts right alongside us. And we can ask for no greater Savior. We could crave no greater intercessor. We could long for no greater high priest before God to represent us. Jesus is our high priest. And as such, he feels what we feel. He sits where we sit. There's no single issue that you have that he does not understand. But more than understanding, that he does not feel and care about. He is our representative before God. He is the one who carries on the glorious ministry and intercession for us. And he is, again, I want to hear you say it, and you need to shout it out. Jesus is touched with the very feelings of my infirmity. Somebody shout, Jesus is touched with the very feelings of my infirmities. You are not alone. He says in John 14, 1 and 8, or 18, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that no matter what I'm going through, Jesus comes to see about me. But secondly, it means that we have a high priest who was tempted in all things just as we are, yet he was without sin. We must remember this glorious truth and never forget it, for it is the very basis of man's salvation. No man will ever be saved unless Jesus Christ did live a sinless life. Why? Because some man has to live a sinless life and secure the ideal and perfect righteousness that covers sinful man. Apart from Christ, there is no ideal righteousness that can stand before God and be acceptable to God, and only perfection. Only the ideal can stand before God. Therefore, if Jesus had not secured the ideal and perfect righteousness, there will be no righteousness for us to be covered by, no righteousness for us in which to believe and place our trust. No righteousness to make us acceptable unto God. But the glorious gospel says that man in all of his sin, his wretchedness, when he comes to Christ, God clothes him with his righteousness. I want you to understand, God takes the murderer. God takes the thief. God takes the wildest sinner. And when that sinner comes to Jesus Christ, Jesus takes his sins and Jesus gives him instead his righteousness. And that sinner stands before God justified as though he had never sinned. Give God praise and glory. It is just amazing how the grace of God can take the wretched sinner, transforms him or her, and makes them beautiful, beautiful ashes. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. I don't care who has labeled you. I don't care who has shut you out of their company. God says you now have access. The gospel. I love this gospel. I don't know about you, man, but I'm not the brightest of them. I'm not the best of them. I'm not the greatest of them. I'm not the best looking of them, even though that's arguable. But despite my shortcomings, despite my failings, God says, I love you. I will take you when everybody else rejects you. I accept you. Amazing grace. He is like us in all things. I want you again to think about it. All the trials, all the temptations, all the stuff that you have gone through, all the stuff you're going through, and all the stuff you'll ever go through. Jesus says, I got this. I've been there. I overcame. You can overcome in the name of Jesus. Tell somebody, this too shall pass. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Number three, we can, I love this, because he is a great high priest. Can I personalize it? I don't want to be selfish because what I have, you have, but I want to just say it because I like to hear the sound of it. I can call upon God boldly. Have you had some folks who shut their phones off? Have you had some folks who block your number? Come on now. Have you had some folks on whose door you knocked and they pretended like they were asleep? Have you ever done something wrong? I know in my day, as children, we did some wrong stuff, Deacon Kelly, and what we would do is stay away until that anger is abated. Hopefully, they would forget like some doting grandmother or father, but the problem was they never forgot. So you go to bed and you're sleeping, and you say, good, I got this, it's kind. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, from yonder, you think you're dreaming. You feel something on your skin. And you are juggled back. They ought to have been locked up. You're juggled back into reality by some kind of belt or stick or something. You're good for nothing thing. You think I forget you? Take this. But you all don't know about that. You all been so nice and cool, always well behaved. So I'm just talking about me. And so you are afraid, ashamed to call them. But I'm glad, my brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we can call on God boldly. And I want you to notice two things here. God, watch this, is sitting upon a throne. That throne is a symbol of authority, power, honor, and glory, and respect, and reverence. This means we ought to approach him in respect and reverence. I want you to understand the privilege of coming before God is awesome. You're talking about a most holy God and being approached by a most sinful man. We will die instantly. So we don't just come now to the throne of God. He's not just sitting upon the throne, but I want you to watch the second thing. He is sitting upon the throne of grace, which transforms judgment into peace. So when justice calls, mercy answers. When the wrath of God should come down and crush me because of what Christ did on the cross, God says, you can't touch him. I paid the price for him. I died for him. I suffered for him. I rose for him. He's got to go free. So we stand before God guilty, yet pardoned. What God sees is not your sins and my sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Or you ought to shout about that. At least I keep you too long, because sometimes I get so excited about the things of God. I'll be here all day, but you got to eat. Look at the fourth thing, if you will. It's all in the text. Not only can I call upon him boldly, I don't need to be ashamed, but I come to God. The fourth thing is we can now obtain the mercy of God. We need God to have mercy upon us. Because we have sinned against him. We have done everything imaginable against God. We have ignored God, rejected God, neglected God. We have denied God. We've rebelled against God. We've cursed God. We've disobeyed God. Yet, tell somebody yet, God will forgive our sins. He will have mercy upon us, but we must come to him and ask forgiveness. We must acknowledge that Jesus has mercy and pardon. Through him, we have access. Through Christ and Christ alone, we have peace with God. Christ and Christ alone knows our need for mercy. He and he alone bore our sins and paid our penalty and condemnation. He and he alone can represent us before God. I used to hear my grandmother saying, "Mercy, Lord." And my mother even picked it up one time or many times. She may have been in pain and she said, "Mercy, Lord." When she couldn't find a song to sing and couldn't find a prayer to pray, all she could cry out, "Mercy, Lord." When she looked at the trouble in the world and wondered what we can do, she cries, "Mercy, Lord." When a child strays and gets away, "Mercy, Lord." When the enemy tries to destroy her, "Mercy, Lord." Sometimes it got so overbearing that she couldn't even say it. She would just, "Mercy." We got away from crying out to the Lord. Our land needs healing. Somebody need to cry, "Mercy, Lord." We don't need justice. We would be crushed. We need mercy, Lord. And here's what Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Maybe if we stop being so vindictive, maybe if we stop trying to fight our own battles and remember that the battle is the Lord and just say, Lord, mercy, Lord. Maybe if you turn to God in your pain and in your trouble and cry, mercy, Lord. Maybe if you just say, Lord, the sinners are sinning more. Christians are lazy and backsliding. Maybe if somebody cry out, mercy, Lord. Oh, I remember when God was about to destroy Israel and God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, if I can find somebody, if I can just find somebody who will stand in the gap and cry mercy. Abraham came up to Jesus or God and say, Lord, can I coax you to hold on? Can I look for 50? He went about looking, couldn't find 50. Can I find 40, Lord? Will you spare this nation? Would you spare this nation for 30? Couldn't find 30. Would you spare it for 20? Couldn't find 20. Would you spare it for 10? Couldn't find 10. Oh, I wonder what God is saying about us today. Here in the Virgin Islands, I wonder if God is saying, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Is there nobody that loves me? Is nobody that worships me? Is nobody that believes in right? Is there nobody who has a cause? If I can find somebody, just one person who will cry out, mercy, Lord. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, said the Lord. Somebody cry mercy. I got one more round. As I look into this text, I find finally that we can now find grace to help in time of need. For those of you who don't need a sophisticated theological definition, mercy means God sparing me of the things that I deserve. I deserve judgment. I deserve death. But mercy says, let's spare him. Let's let him go. Grace, on the other hand, says, he does not deserve this, but we'll give it to him anyway. He doesn't even appreciate it, but we'll give it to him anyway. So mercy saves me from what I should get, and grace gives me what I shouldn't get. Oh, don't get mad with me. Don't get mad with me because God has decided to show me favor. Favor may not be fair, but favor is what God gives. What a glorious promise. Help is now available to carry us through life. No matter what confronts us, trouble, trial, tribulation, temptation, help is available. Tell somebody, help is available. The very help of God himself. God will pour out his marvelous grace upon us. All of his strength and blessings. God's grace will strengthen us to walk right through the trials. This is what folks don't understand. They throw their best shot at us. Don't you know there's somebody who's been planning, plotting, and orchestrating your downfall? And they get up the next morning listening to the news. They're locked into the arbitrariness. And they want to hear friends and relatives are advised of the death. But they don't hear that. They go to the hospital and they thought that you checked in, but you're not there. They went to the prison and looked for you, but you were not registered there. They went to the crazy ward and they said, maybe by now she has lost her mind. But no matter where they went, they found out that I wasn't there, because God, when I should have gone crazy, when I should have died, when I should have lost my mind, God stepped in. Somebody shout. But you got to remember why all of this is possible. All of this is possible because Jesus has suffered the same experience. He has been upon earth himself, suffered through the very trial. In fact, the Bible says he laid down his life. Somebody say equal access. I'm about to take my seat, but I want to finish the story that I started. The application of all this for all of us. I don't know, maybe you feel disenfranchised. Maybe you feel left out, maligned, marginalized. But the good news, as I close this message, is in a world that offers preferential treatment for the wealthy, the famous, and the influential, it's encouraging to know that every child of God has equal access to the Father in heaven. Psalms 145 and 18 declares, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. With that assurance, we can come boldly through the throne of grace, because we have equal access. Somebody stand to your feet, give God praise and glory in the house. For equal access. Now, it's one thing to have it in your head, and even another thing for it to move down to your heart. But this word must now become not just a logos, but a rhema word. Where you actualize so that this word can manifest in your life. I don't know where this word finds you. I don't know what situation you are dealing with. Because we are reminded that everybody has issues, no matter what you call them. First of all, if you're not saved today, God says, I don't mind what you've done. I don't mind how long you've been doing it. My grace is sufficient for you. Come to me so I can change you. If you are a child of God facing a tough issue, a tough situation, and you don't know where to turn, your grades are failing, your marriage is failing, your health is failing, everything is just going downhill, God says you ought to cry out for grace and mercy. Don't wait until the bottom falls out. Come to him right now. If you have lost your place, come to him right now. I want every head bowed. These are serious moments. I want every eye closed. I want you to start walking to this altar. God is looking for some people to stand in the gap for this country. God is looking for somebody to stand up for righteousness. God is looking for somebody who would love people with all of their being and say, listen, no matter what you've done, I still love you. I'll come alongside of you. Sir, Give your life to Jesus. Lady, surrender all to Him. Stop trying to fix it. Turn it over into the hand of God and watch God turn it around. In my own life, I have seen God turn things around almost overnight. Come on, trust Him. Would you step out? Let's fill this altar with people who know what it means to cry out to God. Don't complain. Don't fuss. Don't cuss. Don't take matters into your own hand. Come to the access. God says, whatever you need, I've got it. And not only do I have it, I will give it to you. Father, bless your people as they come from all directions. Let your Holy Spirit fill this house. Give us something to shout about. Equal access. Amen.